Hey, Joey.
Hey, Mark.
Happy episode 48.
Happy episode 48. Happy Easter. Happy episode 48.
A lot going on today.
Yeah. We interview a very good friend of mine.
This, we did. Yeah.
We're interviewing Alex Arthur from TAC Esports.
What does TAC stand for?
Toronto Athletic Camps.
Yeah. And we thought, or at least I thought, we were going to have a conversation about a guy running sports camps. But this is probably the most wide-ranging topic on education, financial literacy, and all this geared to helping the kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a really interesting one. He's big story, and they're doing a lot of amazing things in general. So,
and they tell us the backstory of where you lived prior to real estate.
Yeah, that's right too.
And Costco.
Costco's a part of it.
It's a lot, but it's a good one. It's a lot of good stuff today.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy. Welcome to the Toronto Livings Podcast. A conversation about all things Toronto with a focus on real estate, the culture, and of course, the food.
I'm Mark Savell.
And I'm Joey Virgilio.
And we're realtors with Sage Real Estate working together as a Toronto Livings team with a focus on helping you buy better, sell higher, and of course, having a little bit of fun along the way.
All right. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Joey.
Hello, Alex.
Hey, guys.
We have a very special episode this episode. Another special episode. So today we have Alexander Arthur sitting beside us, who is a very close friend, and he's joining us as a co-owner from TAC, TAC Sports specifically. Alex is truly one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. He's got probably the most unrelenting positive attitude, which, as somebody who's lived with him in the past, can vouch for, that it's extremely contagious. Mm-hmm. He has always been on a mission to tackle new initiatives or just expand on ones that already exist. He's a friend of mine. He's been a friend since 2010-ish. Whenever the original Costco trip took place, we were pushing hundreds of buggies at a time, and since then we've worked on a bunch of endeavors. Actually, we worked on a bunch of music endeavors. He's one of the first people I've actually told that I was getting my real estate license way back when. We've since done a few real estate deals together, and we've recently been talking about having you on as a guest, and I'm happy to say we're here, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. But TAC Sports is kind of one of the primary things we're going to talk about today.
You didn't say meat and potatoes.
Oh, yeah, meat and potatoes.
The running joke is Joey loves saying meat and potatoes as well as eating meat and potatoes. And I really thought you were going to drop meat and potatoes.
Yeah. cleaning up this podcast.
Special guest, special edition. Yeah. I like that.
We got him bowed back. Okay.
Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm a big fan of the podcast.
All right.
I listen to a lot of episodes, and literally, like, the world of real estate is now open through Joey getting into real estate. Now listening to the pod, it's just been like wild, learning what you guys know and taking us through the real estate of Toronto. It's been amazing. So
love it.
I've been like really pumped to be here. Me and Joey have been talking a while, and
yeah.
And yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. So we go way back.
Yes. way back.
Yeah. We go from Costco days all the way back in 2010.
So you guys met at Costco, or were you shopping and you like locked eyes and you're like, you look like a good friend.
No, we worked there for the summer. I think it was of 2010 when we worked there originally.
Yeah. Yeah. In 2010, we and my brother, I have a twin brother. Mm. We I think that was our first ever job.
Mm.
And so this was a Vaughan Costco, at the interchange with the big, like UFO type,
Colossus.
Yeah.
Fun fact. That was the first Costco in Canada. No, second. First was Scarborough.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It was a long time. Like, I remember it was a big deal when it came. So, we went a lot as a family.
Nice.
And then when it came time to like find somewhere to work, I had like built up this really positive association with Costco and all the food there. So I love going there. I love the samples. Let me try like getting a job here. Right.
Yeah.
And, so we got a job, and we met a lot of people through working there. Actually, it was pretty cool. We met our first, a band member. We were in music. So our first band member, Alex, we met there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then we met Joey at the same time. And all of us were in the like buggy pushing crew we were outside. In the lot. Yeah. The lot boys. Yeah. The lot boys.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a cool band name. The lot boys.
Yeah.
And
we got to talking. And because of our shared love of music, I remember the first conversations we had were about the Strokes.
That's right.
And then really jamming out. And then we all started speaking. And then Joey went to music engineering school.
Yeah.
We started hanging out together. And then it had been, there was like this period where like we were starting the business and all these kind of things. And we hadn't really been like in touch for like maybe 3-4 years.
Yeah, it was a while before we reconnected again.
Yeah. And then with our other band called Total Runout, we started recording with Joey, and that's where, you know, the friendship just came full on again.
Yeah. It's a music oriented background.
Yeah.
Sure.
Music oriented. Yeah.
A lot of that history, which is like, kind of takes us to through our whole relationship, because that reconnect that happened when you came and we were like, hey, I heard you got, you're still recording. You went to Metalworks. You guys were asking me about Metalworks itself, and
yes.
and also you wanted to record, so we kind of like hit it off that way, and then through a series of things, it ended up being where like I ended up living with you guys in this whole process. It ended up being like I worked with them, we all re-gelled again really well, and they had an extra room in their place, and that's how we ended up
that's crazy. Was this in Hogs Hollow?
Hogs Hollow. This was we called it the Band Mansion.
Oh, sick.
We also call it was on Eastview Crescent.
Okay.
Like honestly, one of the best streets in Toronto.
Yeah.
And like you have a bunch of mansions and this California style, really old school, like 60s type, two-story floor to ceiling windows kind of mansion. And we had been in one band house at York Mills in 401. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we can never get a good one like this. And then we're like, we were in there for 6 months. And then that was a tear down. So we left and we're like, we need another band house. So we found one at a Young and York Mills, and this was 2019. And, when we went in there, we just couldn't believe it. Cause it was like floor to ceiling windows, carpets, like these shag curtains from the 60s, nice. Like Austin Powers was living there.
Places you shouldn't have carpets.
And it was amazing for music, because you could go down and we could play and no one could hear us.
Nice.
Like we could play as loud as we want because of the carpets and the curtains, no one could hear you. And it was incredible. And we were recording with Joey, we became so close that Joey was commuting all the way from Bothland. So we were like, why don't you come? We have a whole second floor that no one's in. Why don't you come like
crash there,
stay with us?
Yeah. And the place was crazy. So the first time I walked up there, I was like, this feels odd right now that I'm walking through the street. And I walk in the house, they're taking me through the tour, and there's three bedrooms upstairs.
Wow.
So they were like, you can take this bedroom. So we do the tour. I'm like, cool. Like, yeah, I'm very game to do this. Like, let's do it. And they're like, hold on, we're not done the tour yet. So they take me downstairs and then down this long corridor where there's like another gigantic room in the basement. And I was like, this is wicked. I'll sleep here. That was a good initiation to us. And then we went over the pandemic was another piece of it.
Yes. Pandemic. Mm-hmm. We were probably the luckiest like four guys to have that house during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And the owner is a developer, and he was going to build in just 1 year. So we had a short-term lease for 1 year. So the rent was incredible. It was like, I don't know, it was like 2,900 or 3,000 for four people. And we had like literally a ravine in the back, complete. You could even like, there was a fire pit there too. You could even like, it was totally private. It was amazing, right? It was a wraparound deck. You could see all of Yonge Street. You could see all of Hogs Hollow from there. It was truly like,
one of a kind.
It's a one of a kind.
Yeah,
for sure.
And we were lucky because during COVID, he had his other things delayed, and so he couldn't start building. Mm. So we were able to extend on that short-term lease,
nice,
for another like year and a half on top of the 1 year lease.
So good.
So we were doing, so pandemic all happened. We were doing bonfires in the back and like, just making full use of that house before it got torn down.
That's amazing.
It was incredible. It was, and there was a real like, it's hard to replicate because it was such a real sense of camaraderie. Mm. You have four guys, you know, all on the same page, all best friends, recording music. And then we started like masterminding, which is like talking about a lot of success, a lot of like things that I'm really pumped about. And Joey and I would just have coffee conversations of like, success and talking about books that we just read, audiobooks we're listening to. And that was really like an exciting time because all of us were kind of during the pandemic building and building, right?
So yeah, it was, it's cool. And that's part of your, I think, a part of your contagious personality, which is like, it's very, very positive and very uplifting. Like spending a lot of time together was like, it's insanely beneficial. And like, I saw you work a lot of, so during the pandemic, TAC, I guess, had to shift so many times during this whole thing, which I guess what we can get into a little bit. But that was one of the moments I was like, damn, Alex is a nonstop work machine. from day in, he would be, you know, you'd be working and then on nights we'd be recording. So it was just, it was literally just like a loop.
Yeah.
So yeah, extremely impressive in that sense. I guess, so can we, let's start from, if we bring it into the TAC world a little bit, let's start with like how you got, so we met in 2010 and then I think it was it the year after that you started TAC?
We started TAC in 2012 and then we launched our first programs in 2013.
Right.
And that was, a friend of mine, Adib, Razavi, who's my co-founder and we're best friends and have been since York. So I met him at York.
Sorry. Was he living in the house too?
Oh no, he wasn't. No. He wasn't. Okay. He came to the house. He saw the house. Yeah. But yeah. He didn't live with us. It was my twin brother, our best friend, Dan Morson, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
You know Dan very well. I can't wait to get into that story. But it was the four of us. But Adib, I met him through York, through environmental studies. Mm. So we were both double majoring in environmental studies. And then I was doing kin and kinesiology, and he was doing business. Mm. And we were sitting there in an environmental management lecture. And then we started talking. And of course, we have a huge love for soccer. Mm. So it was like one sentence on like, hey, how are you? And then the next sentence, we were talking about soccer. And
nice.
Then that evening, he was playing with me on one of the five soccer teams we had already. And then we built this kind of camaraderie through like essentially 5 years of playing on the same soccer team many times. And Joey, we're like, Joey, man, we got to start another soccer team because all of our soccer team is like, my electrician is the center midfielder. My lawyer is the left back. My accountant's the right back. Like,
you know, that's amazing.
We all got each other now is because of this kind of community, right? Same thing with music and soccer. Like you build this kind of community where once you start going into professional, you know, your lives, you get to support each other, which is really awesome. But we went to battle, like I even went to the hospital with him when he got like injured and stuff. So really we knew that we could go to battle together. We knew that each other was like going to be that person we could rely on. Mm-hmm. And I worked with him for one summer at a tennis camp that he was managing. He's also like a crazy workhorse, was doing full-time school, full-time work. And my twin brother, Thomas, and I, we both love sports, love coaching. Thomas did kin as well. So we were doing music with our first band. We were doing the night shift because we could only rent. We were renting from our bandmate's dad's essentially carpentry business. And we were going there at 11 p.m. at night, starting to rehearse. And we would leave at 6 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
And then by 12 p.m., me and Thomas were on the tennis court, you know,
Teaching
kids and coaching, right? And that eventually evolved during that summer to, wow, you know, this is something that I feel like a dharmic connection to. Mm-hmm. I always loved kids. I always wanted, I did my specialization in coaching and sports psychology in kin. Mm-hmm. So I love coaching. I wanted to, you know, I love the soccer manager. I wanted to be a soccer manager. I wanted to be a professional soccer player first. Started when I was really older, quite a bit older at 13, with no soccer experience. Then my brother and I trained each other because our coaches were not great. And we had no one to teach us, right? So much like people are learning real estate from this podcast, we started looking at the early YouTube people publishing stuff on how to get better at soccer. And so we started learning all these coaching methodologies and teaching each other on the field. It's kind of like a superpower having a twin brother, because you just, you know, you just like riffing off each other all the time.
That's amazing.
And building. So then that's what really built that foundation for me. The lack of good coaching in Toronto, the lack of like being, wanting to be a professional player, but not having any mentors, not having, went to a few different programs and it wasn't great. The coaches were just there kind of making money. Like you'd take one shot in 1 hour. It was like, it was kind of not, you felt that they weren't doing it for a mission. So that all built up to this kind of sense of, wow, I really think we can make a difference here.
So sorry, you're like 14, 15 and you're seeing this gap in the market at that young age.
Well, this is fast forward to 10 years later when we're starting the business.
Yeah.
That sense of feeling was built from that 10 years of kind of frustration of not having coaches and having to teach everything myself, or like to teach to each other with my brother. And so really working with Adib in the tennis camp, he, like we got along so well together. We worked so well. And then in September, he came to me and my brother's parents' house where we were living at the time with a briefcase with like, here's Toronto Athletic Camps, Inc. I've registered this. Do you guys want to be my business partners? And it was like literally I took like half a second. I was like, I'm 100%.
You're in.
Love it.
I'm in. Like there was no hesitation at all. And my brother didn't end up being a partner, but he's now doing his own business teaching music.
Okay.
And he's also just like, Joey's a music genius. I'm going to get into his genius in music and recording and guitar. So the listeners know what man is sitting here, what legendary man is sitting here. But my brother also went to Metalworks, which is a recording studio in Toronto. Drake recorded there. It's kind of like the premier music engineer. How do you say, recording engineer?
Yeah, recording engineer.
Recording engineer. It's the premier school in Mississauga. And so many great artists record there. And so Thomas did Metalworks because of Joey. So he became an audio engineer as well. And and now he's teaching kids, like parents, any age group, basically. He has like a whole family where like the grandfather's doing accordion lessons with him. The mom is doing like, I don't know, guitar or something. And then the kid is doing like flute or clarinet.
That's
or something.
Amazing.
Yeah. Full wheel of full arsenal in his tank.
Yeah. Yeah. So Thomas Arthur, if you guys want to check it out,
put in the show notes.
Yeah. Put in the show notes.
Yeah.
So basically he did his own thing, but, me and Adib started building. We started with soccer, tennis, and basketball, as a kind of, sport. We wanted to really make a difference in the sport industry first. And then as we went through the years, I started reading books like about the exponential technologies. There's one, I think it's called Abundance by Peter Diamandis. And this book is incredible. It came out like 4 years ago about all the five exponential technologies. So that's like 3D design and manufacturing, coding, smart things, the network of like the network of integrated smart things. And then AI, obviously. So we started thinking, like, there was some robotics courses that we were offering. And we said, you know what? We need to differentiate. We need to, like, sport will teach the intangibles, the like, how to pursue something, how to work with real challenges with people together. And that's why so many people who do sports know business, because you're doing these challenges that you have to deal with a team together real time, and with camaraderie and build skills, and those skills will help you in the actual performance. So we said, not only sport teaches that, but we need to teach them and make well-rounded people who can deal with this kind of, and this is amazing technology we're using now as well, but like this new world of technology that's so different than even when we were growing up.
For sure.
Yeah, in the 90s, right? Where I remember the first like dial-up internet. You're trying to play a game and your mom picks up the phone. And you're like, Ma!
No, not the phone! Or like you're downloading a song on Napster. And you're like 85% there. And then it's like,
I was so close.
Today's youth will never know those struggles that we went through.
Everything's right at their fingertips instantly, right? And my first music discoveries were through like LimeWire.
LimeWire,
BearShare, LimeWire, all those.
It was really... And And it's really incredible because they have to deal with, kids have to deal with so much more now, right?
Right.
With ChatGPT in the classrooms and things like that. So we wanted to give them the skills, and that's why we called it Lifetime Skills Academy.
Mm.
So skills for their lifetime, no matter what the world is kind of throwing at them, bring those skills in. So we started doing financial literacy.
Love it.
Which is a big pet peeve of mine in the schools, how we learn like calculus and algebra before we learn financial math.
Yep.
Yep.
And actually nobody actually ever learns financial math in the classroom. So it's a big, like going into business after and having to learn all that post school.
Yeah.
You kind of wonder like, okay, I haven't, 99.9% of people won't touch algebra,
calculus,
even like advanced statistics.
Yep.
Nobody's touching that, right? Mm-hmm. But every single person is affected by capitalism. And once you leave, the kind of like your parents in the school system, you have to like, what's a T4? What's a job? Like, how do I make money? You know, like how do I save up for real estate? Those kind of things. And no one's teaching that. So now we're developing, we just launched a mini MBA course as well in the March break camp.
Love it.
And we gamify everything. So we take the principles of finance and we take all the financial board games, and we use those board games as leverage in between the knowledge that we're teaching them. So like if we're talking about real estate, we'll do like a Monopoly game,
mm-hmm.
and we'll talk about taxes, mortgages, we'll teach them like deed and all of those things through Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're having so much fun, like competing and actually working with the money in front of them. And tangibly like understanding
budgeting and all that
budgeting exactly, and there are elements of like chance and things like that, but it does teach them a lot of real world principles. So we teach like Catan, or Joey and I love Catan, we played a few Catan games back at the house, but that teaches you what life is like without finance, without like without money. And so how do you barter, how do you get resources, what's valuable to you, to other humans, what's supply and demand, how does that affect prices, right? And real estate is like very much supply, demand.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more the area of the city's in demand, the higher the price will be, kind of thing. And we try to teach that early on. And my philosophy is talent, and we're gonna release a book actually. It's gonna be called Sports Star. It's coming out later in April for pre-sale. But what that book teaches, the main concept is that talent is a myth.
Mm.
And I believe talent is a myth, like innate genius is a myth, because you build genius and you can build talent, because talent is just skill mixed with early exposure.
Mm.
So if like Mozart, for example, 3 years old, started composing because his dad was the preeminent composer of his time.
Mm.
And he taught Mozart from like when he was in the womb,
mm-hmm.
basically how to make music, compose music. And by six, he was like playing in front of all the courts in Europe, right?
Right.
So same with Tiger Woods, Wayne Gretzky, like you name it, anybody who's that kind of legendary level genius, they achieved it through early exposure and a learned love.
Mm.
So the more you love something, that's what I always say is talent, is like you learn to love that game so much. And it's like a part of you, so that you're going to practice it more than anyone else. I always say like 10,000 hours is for mastery.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you stack every 10,000 hours on it, then you get better and better and better, right? And I think people listening to this podcast, if they're like want to get into real estate, they got to have that same kind of mind frame, right? You can't just hop into it and expect that you're going to like put a lot of emotion into being like really good at it right away. It takes like a lot of learning from what you guys are saying, and a lot of actually being in the, like in the, not in the industry, but in the game, so to speak, learning the rules, learning how to do the right moves, and just being like very calm about it, because you know, it's like, I got to put these number of hours to understand, and then I'm going to work with professionals who have like 20,000 hours of experience. And that's why, you know, real estate agents are so important, because they're masters at the game so they can literally guide you through every step of it.
That's a really unique way of looking at it. I've always heard about the 10,000 hour concept and all those things, but the mastery of it and the time spent, and you're absolutely right. And there's a huge gap where the kids don't have that. That was never taught to me in school. I think that I remember my math teacher said, guys, I'm going to show you something that we don't usually talk about. And it was amortization. Yes. It was the first time I ever heard the word amortization. I was like 18. I remember, or younger. I was so proud that I learned what amortization was. And that was probably like something that hooked me into like, oh, let's find out more about real estate. Mm-hmm. So TAC, sorry, we didn't really get into this, but TAC stands for?
Toronto Athletic Camps. So and then we have LSA, which is Lifetime Skills Academy, which is a sister company under the same branch. And then we also have TAC Aquatics, which is Learn to Swim and like a competitive swim academy as well. And then we have a soccer academy, TAFC. We have 20 teams. Hmm. We were in the FIFA World Cup TSN highlight reel, which was pretty sweet, out of all the academies in Canada.
Wow.
And that's like obviously I wanted to be a professional soccer player, so that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And also Adib's. And then we have a basketball academy called TAC Force.
So there's five arms?
Yeah, there's kind of five. And then we're trying to do a lot of not-for-profit work as well. So we'll do like seniors programs at Columbus Center. Nice. and Casa Bruzzo.
Nice.
And we want to give back to the community. And then we also run the same programs that we do in a premium sense for communities that don't have that access to quality camps or quality growth programs.
It's amazing. So,
yeah, we're essentially a growth company.
That's what I was going to say. That's the thing that really makes you guys unique is that you're not a sports camp. You're not like a kids camp company. You're a self-development company that focuses on kids.
Yes.
And does it through sports.
With LSA, there's robotics. There's, like you said, talking about finances I remember being in Eastview and hearing you teach the monetary course and talking about the barter system. And like, I couldn't believe that like, this is such good early exposure for this type of conversation, how money came to be what it is.
Yes.
Nobody talks about this stuff. Yeah. Even to this, as an adult, nobody talks about the fact that it was a barter system. So like, I think that's, LSA is such a unique piece of the puzzle that makes it. I mean, you guys exceed at everything, every piece of the puzzle, but that kid's self-development skills from outside of sports too is like, it's amazing.
Well, cause you go from high school and potentially post-secondary. And then it's like, you're supposed to somehow have this information downloaded to you. No one tells you how or where. And, you know, we see people every day, maybe they're in their 40s. They still have no concept of where to even begin. Mm-hmm. And it's a lack of the system that we operate in that we're not talked or told or have, like, it's almost taboo to talk about finance in school.
Yes.
Like, you know, never tell anyone how much you make. That's a thing that's told to you from a young age. Like, you should not talk about money like that. It should be this very private thing. Yep. And so I think it's incredible that you're kind of ripping off that bandaid and saying, no, reverse it. Talk about money as much as you can through, in a kid's sense, games and sports and getting to learn all that. And what I also think is fascinating when I was doing some kind of research on this is you also see a lot of athletes that are terrible with money.
Yes.
And I feel like in tandem, you're developing those skills and then saying, and once you make it there, you're going to be armed with the financial knowledge to really crush it and to have your financial independence, not just off your skill set of sports.
Yep.
So that's incredible. Would you say this is like the first of its kind, or was there?
I would say so. Just, it's like a mini university when you come to our camps, because you could have four kids and each of them could be doing a specialization that week. Like, one could be doing STEM for girls. One could be doing STEM eco. We launched an eco program as well, because that's my other main mission in life, is like a sustainable abundance and supporting the environment. Because I believe that the world can exist with humans actually enhancing everywhere we go rather than
destroying
the last 50 years of incredible like lifestyle development, incredible technology development and quality of life has enhanced, but we've done it with technologies and kind of ways that have taken away from the world. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really exciting. Like, there's a lot of eco-architecture coming out, a lot of sustainable buildings. We're actually discussing this last night with one of our friends who works with a developer about like eco-buildings and things like that. But I think it's really important for them to be exposed and get back to the earth. We're running a farm camp with one of my best friends. We're gonna, we actually have a podcast as well that we're launching called Regeneration Nation.
All right.
With Cesar Diaz, and he's a farmer, also a best friend from three years old when we met in elementary school. Nice. We lost touch for like 20 years because he moved around quite a bit. And then I started teaching eco nutrition in the School of Natural Nutrition, Canadian School of Natural Nutrition, because I did holistic nutrition as well. Mm-hmm. So I started teaching that, and I was like, universe, give me someone who's doing a farm, a regenerative farm. And then my buddy from 20 years ago literally sends me an Instagram DM and saying like, hey, I saw you make a post about regenerative agriculture. I'm a farmer now. And I was like, how is this even possible?
It's so funny because I remember you talking about this before Cesar came back into the picture. Yeah. And you literally were mentioning it, like, I got to do something more. Like, I'm not done yet. There's more to my value in this world than running this kid's program.
Yes. And because growth is so important to me, that was like I started reading like Jack Canfield's Success Principles when I was in grade 10, and that really spoke to me. So the growth aspect was one mission. And then I was sitting in a waste class in York University, and I was like, that also hit me. Mm. Like, you need to do something in the environmental sector. And so this regenerative agriculture is exactly this, where you can run a farm instead of this monoculture farm that destroys the soil because you're just running one crop. And then it's like, imagine like you really like corn. Mm-hmm. That's all you want to eat. And it's there 24/7 all year round. That's going to be like a pest paradise, mm-hmm. right? So that's why you need to spray, because the crop is there all the time and it attracts pests always, right? So you're weakening the soil, you're weakening the agricultural system, and now you're doing all these chemicals that are really bad for the soil and people, and the reason why a lot of allergies have come along for kids is because of all these like pesticides that are in the foods that are being identified as allergens as well. So peanuts are like the most highly sprayed legume in the world, one of them, let's say. So that's why you get all these peanut and tree nut allergies. But anyways, so this regenerative, we're going to have kids who are going to be on a farm, getting back to their roots, back to the soil, learning soil science, learning how to grow crops, learning how to build like urban backyard farms, which is a really cool thing as well. We give them little kits that they can bring home to their own condos and stuff, and do like herbs and different things like that. And then build like how to build this in your own backyard, right? Because just like finance, like that's not being taught. We're not even being taught like how to connect with the real world.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And kids lose touch. Like, we're all so technified right now that like the phones are really like a huge part of our life. Mm-hmm. And it's become more our lives than actual
real life
and like real nature and soil and these kind of things. And we don't even know where food comes from.
Right.
It's like, we've been so lucky in Toronto and North America and most of the world that like food just exists. It just like, boom, we have abundance of food anytime we want, everywhere we want. And so we're trying to tell kids like, this is where it comes from. And this is how we can enhance the environment and the soils. And actually, there's really cool things that I teach in the course there, where it's like, there's a fish farm in Spain that has the best fish you've ever tasted, and it's an ecological reserve. Mm. So it like literally became this kind of nature reserve from the farmer who reintegrated everything. And then now he's selling also the best quality food that anyone could buy. So it was like, I'm like, for me, that's that you're winning in life. You're winning when it's like a win-win-win for like the earth, for the people, and for your own soul, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's what got me really excited about these kind of programs.
I love that about like even just the fact that you get passionate about something in a certain direction, you're able to just incorporate that into TAC in general.
Well, you're executing on your ideas. Yeah. And that's the biggest frustration I have, was when people talk this big game and it's like it dies with them. Mm-hmm. Everything you've said, it sounds like you had the idea and your next step was implement it.
Yeah. I've had like for me, it was like this kind of sentiment I had from university was when I would do like Frosh Boss and I would get all the freshmen coming through. I did it. I love that. And one of the things I would tell them, and I would get like emotional somehow, all of a sudden I was like, guys, like, make sure you study, because like the worst thing that can happen to you in university or in life is that like you just do nothing with like with what you're given, the opportunity you're given, or you just like, you come here, you party too much, and then you don't learn, like you don't actually come out with the knowledge to do anything with it.
That right? you intended to get when you came here in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was a sentiment of mine. Like my biggest life regret would be like not doing what I wanted to do. And that's why I'm doing a lot of things that I,
yeah.
It's if I ever shut it off, like every, and I think that's for everyone really. I think we have so many different aspects of our lives, and the school system is telling you like, you are this, like you need to be a doctor and that's your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have kids, have a wife, have a house, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Call it a day, right? But like, I think there's so much, like we have so many things that enhance our lives, like art, artistic endeavors, like hobbies, like other passions. And we need to, I like the way we're going as a society where there's more like entrepreneurial vibes rather than our parents who had to be
follow a formula.
This is the company you work for your whole life.
Right.
Yeah. Take your weekends, take your evenings, and like just have dinners and like don't do anything else kind of thing. And I really like these kind of like this podcast, for instance, is like a really amazing way that it's not just real estate. Now it's real estate plus podcast plus audio plus video. And that like right now what we're doing feels amazing. Good. It's like a nice refresh to our daily lives and things like that. So we're trying to promote to these kids and anyone in general is like, if you have passions, you got to pursue them, because if you don't, you're shutting off one big section of yourself.
Right.
That's why people hit like the midlife crisis when they're 40, those kind of things. Cause they said like, I'm no longer a kid. I have kids, so I can't have any fun, these kind of things. And then when they hit 40, they're like, oh my God, I got to go buy like this car, these things, right? Because they've stopped having fun.
Mm. Right.
And I think that's a big principle too. That's why we do the fun games and things. Cause I don't think we should ever not have fun.
It's so, right? Well, our three kind of pillars are buy better, sell higher, and have a little bit of fun. Because you got it. You just, we like having fun. Like it fulfills the whole cycle. It's not just a boring transactional piece of like, sign here, you bought it, good luck with your mortgage, I'll send you a Christmas card. No, let's go grab a bite somewhere. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn your story a bit better, because that will help us do our job of finding your place or selling your place, whatever it is. Before I go off on a real estate tangent, what's the target age of the kids that are going through this program?
So we actually, we started with a target age. Now we've actually added toddler soccer.
Oh, amazing.
And we have toddler swim programs. So it was 3.5 to about 16 that we started with. Now it's 1.5, because you can start with the soccer and that's the whole premise, is like early exposure. Yep. The more you're exposed to something, it's like when you were exposed to amortization that you were saying, that early exposure gives you confidence that you don't even believe later on. Like I like cooking. I did one cooking camp when I was young, and then cooking was like no problem, right? Oh, I did that when I was 8 years old. Mm. I can do it, right?
That's so interesting.
And you want to arm people with that, just that little knowledge, because Thomas teaches adults music as well. And we're both in agreement on this principle that like adults can learn almost faster than kids, almost like 10 times faster than a kid. Mm. They don't, because they have so many hangups and so much self-awareness and self-doubt and busy lives 100%. But they have all of these things like, I didn't do it as a kid. Mm. So I therefore am not confident. And therefore their actual ability to learn starts shrinking,
right?
Because you can only learn through your own identity. Mm. Whereas kids have just an open blanket identity. So whatever you're teaching them, they have no hangups. They're just like, oh, I suck. I'm a kid though. Like this is great. I'm learning.
Try
like,
again.
I'm learning everything already. Yeah. There's nothing, but like when you cross a certain threshold as an adult, then it goes back to what you're saying, is like people expect themselves to know and they're hard on themselves.
Right.
If we didn't magically learn what amortization was, we didn't magically learn what interest rates were, right? And then you're expected to know this when you're 21, 22.
Right.
Or any age, right? And yeah. The older you get, the more that kind of self-expectation, and that's why people can learn even in their 60s, 70s, 80s, but they have this kind of huge weight of like, I should have known this already,
right,
type
right.
thing. So I think all that early exposure really makes a huge, huge difference in anything, right?
And so are these programs run in tandem with school, or is this a weekend thing, a night thing? How does...
Yeah, so we do day camps in all the breaks.
Okay.
So that's why I never have any time off. We run programs during the school year. So we do some school support programs where we do like their phys ed programs, or we go in and help schools with coding. So they'll hire our instructors to go in and be part of the curriculum, which is really exciting. These are some private schools that are doing that. Mm. They're recognizing that they're missing something in the curriculum, and we're jumping right in. And then we do after school programs. So you can have an extra hour to finish work, to go do groceries, whatever you want. Brilliant. And then instead of 4 o'clock picking up the kids, you can pick them up at 5.
Right.
And then instead of now having to go drive them to their soccer lessons or tech lessons or STEM lessons, they've already done it. So that's a huge part of our business. And then we have the swimming lessons after school, the soccer lessons after school, and then the university camps when everyone's like March break and summer. And that's a huge portion of us. We'll be in 20 different locations around the GTA.
Wow.
Yeah. This year we expanded to Durham, Mississauga, Aurora, pretty much like 4 locations in North York. We have a downtown location now, Etobicoke, Scarborough, like
everywhere you cover
everywhere in GTA. And that's been like every one of the 11 years we're adding just one program or two programs and one location or two locations. Our aim, it has never been expansion. It's be like, we have a mission that we can see now after 11 years. Like, we had a 14-year-old volunteer, 2 of them. They're working with us full time in the business.
Wow. Now.
Love it.
That speaks volumes to the courses you're offering, that they're going back into it to offer that to the next generation.
And some of our earliest soccer kids at 6 years old, now they're like playing for Team Canada reserves.
That was a question I had. I wasn't sure if you could answer, like, has anyone gone pro, or anyone on the path to pro through these programs?
I truly believe that our mission of having like 10 people from the early sport days, the world's only sport, I think we're going to have 10 people playing professional.
Wow.
Like 1 in 2 in tennis, that we started doing early private tennis lessons, and we just made it fun.
Yeah.
That's our core thing, is like, how do we make this game the funnest thing they've ever done? And so like, they're 4 years old, and every shot, like every hit they're making or every shot they're scoring, you go bananas. And you like, right. you really, because we look at even the psychological principles behind coaching. So like, endorphin release, adrenaline, are you having all of these things in your coaching session?
Right.
Because that's what people go to Wonderland for. And we do this in our training, is like, people go to Wonderland for the adrenaline. There's nothing much else. Like, you get serotonin when you're eating food, or like the fatty foods there too, but the sugary foods, but like, you're going there maximally for adrenaline. So if you don't have adrenaline in your coaching session, like a time-based activity or anything like that, you will not have fun, basically. And kids won't be interested. Humans in general, we're not interested for the majority of the time in things that don't deliver one of the 5 positive neurotransmitters to us. Right. And so we try to make sure that we're at least aware of those things. We're not measuring it. Like, we can't measure it real time.
Like, yeah, you don't have like,
maybe in a couple of years, I don't know, with this technology, maybe in a couple of years, but really we try to leverage that. And then if you have that association of fun with whatever you're doing, and that's why it's so important what you said, is like, have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
My times, the real estate deals we did with Joey were some of the funnest times in the last like 3 years I've had.
I want to hear about this.
Yeah.
Well, I also want to attend camp. I don't know about you, but I'm like, 100%. I'm almost mad at my parents right now. I'm going to go home like, why didn't you send me to this camp? Probably wasn't around when I was a kid, but tell us about some of the experiences you guys had. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me go into the origin. Oh, well, you'll go into the origin story, but I'll say the origin story from my perspective.
Yeah.
So we're having these mastermind coffee talks all the time, and talking about growth and success and these kind of things. And we started having more and more of these, and we were recording like every night as well. And then, Joey was, how long were you in the industry for as a recording, like as an audio engineer?
Oh, at that point it must have been, it's about 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years or so.
Did you ever tell the audience your band name?
No.
From before?
No, yeah. We never mentioned it.
Do you want to mention it?
We can.
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the Rathburns, the Rathburns, and Joey was with his sister and two other friends, yep. Right? His sister has the most incredible voice ever.
Frances V?
Yeah. Frances V, yeah.
Come on.
She was a singer. Yeah, she's a singer.
Like literally could be up there with all the top singers, you know, Taylor Swift, her voice is better.
Wow.
It's unreal.
Shout out Frances V, yeah. Voice of an angel.
Yeah, unreal. So if you want to go with the Rathburns, Joey does some singing on the last album there too. But
is this on Spotify?
This is, yeah, it's on all the regular songs.
Like three tracks are up?
No, there's more than I think four on the stuff, the newer stuff.
Okay.
Or the newer as in like all 10 right. years ago.
I'm gonna do some weekend listening. Yeah.
And he's like a genius level guitarist as well. So he's top there. Top five in the world.
For this me. Is one of my jam partners. Yeah.
And what instrument do you play, Alex?
So I play in the band. I was playing bass guitar and drums. And we were kind of going half of them with bass and half with drums. Because Thomas plays a couple instruments as well in the band. But then I started playing exclusively drums.
Okay.
But I can play guitar as well. And
they used to be in a band, him and his twin brother, with the third Alex from Costco way back when. They used to be called Three Versatile because they would all just shift instruments. Sorry? Three Versatile.
Okay.
Because they would all just shift instruments.
Wow.
Like per song.
Hop every on. Song.
Yeah, they just would
I'd be on guitar, then be on drums, then be on bass.
That's insane.
It was kind of overwhelming. Yeah. Not in the sense of like, knowing all of them, but just being like, what am I doing next? Like, what do I have to practice?
Yeah.
Like, what do I, yeah, it was a cool concept band and it was working. I think it could have worked, but that was fun. But yeah, back to the origin story with Joey. So we are doing all this. He has this like incredible genius level experience. We're recording, we're talking. And then one day we're having coffee and in the incredible band mansion, as we like to call it. The sun was great, floor to ceiling windows. And he's like, Alex, he's like, don't tell anyone. I'm going into real estate.
I don't think I've ever asked you what sparked that for you.
It was 10 years or 10, whatever it was, 10, 11 years of doing engineering. And I'd been in the music business for a while. And then our band stopped. And then I just was engineering. Mm. And there was some spark that just kind of got lost in it.
Okay.
With the exception of these guys, which is I think why we gelled so well, but there was some spark that just got lost, and eventually the pandemic actually hit.
Okay.
And it was like, I need to make some moves. I need to make some changes.
And you thought real estate was the good move?
Yeah. At that point, it looked bad at the beginning. So that was it. I started doing my classes in the basement of that house secretly.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell anybody anything because I thought it was, I wanted to go through the process to see if it was taking or not.
Yeah.
Which is how I usually like to do things in general.
And you're known as Joey the band guy or Joey the music guy. So like, you don't want to just say, hey, I'm a real estate guy now.
By the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair. I see that.
So it was very much on the hush hush. And then one of our, you know, it's hyper caffeinated conversations.
Aren't those the best?
Yeah.
No.
Then you ended up being the first person outside of my family that I told.
That you told. Nice.
Yeah. And so it was like, I kept it a secret for as long. And it was funny that he's like doing this in his secret like bunker downstairs because his room had two phones in it from like the 60s.
Nice.
And we're like, when was this house built? This was like out of the general of the Cold War or something. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. One was like, a direct line from the president.
Yeah. And the other one was to Russia or something. But it was incredible space that he had down there. And then that was it. And then I think you finished in record time because you did it in...
I did it pretty quickly. And then from there, it was... We did our first deal. So you were...
Was Alex your first?
Yeah. Alex was the first purchase along with Dan.
Along with Dan.
Yeah. Right. So it was the two of them. And we all did it all together as like one...
Yeah.
As one group push.
That's wildly fast. So when did you get licensed? 2021?
Yeah. 20 March. Yeah.
And within a few months, you guys...
It was like 2 months later almost. Yeah. that we got the first deal.
We immediately started looking at places. I remember I was downstairs. I mentioned this once or twice before, but I was downstairs like showing a presentation. Like literally I had charts and numbers and stuff. And I was like, guys, this is amazing. A weird time because people are leaving the city in Toronto right now. And I think everyone's going to rush back. And I think it's going to be this opportunity. And it was this whole spiel. And then it was really impressive watching you navigate that whole thing to get it to all happen. Because originally it was supposed to be just Alex involved, and then Alex brought Dan in, and it kind of just became this thing of like trying to get this to happen, like this the investment to happen.
So you never owned property prior to this?
No.
So
not at all.
Joey comes up from the basement.
Yeah, we went down to the same studio that we always went down to record music. Yeah. And instead, now there was like this condo chart on the TV. And
TV, look at you.
Yeah, it was literally like
it was set up like a studio down there.
So big screen TV. We were on the couch, that like the most comfortable couch ever. And I told Joey after this, I'm like, man, you're meant for this. You're gonna be amazing here, because I had never had the experience at all, like no experience with real estate. Parents didn't really know anything, so I didn't never had the early exposure, right?
Sure, sure.
So that world was just not my world. I like had no idea, right? But then when Joey was explaining it, it wasn't that we were just friends. He explained it in such an easy way to understand and such a tangible way with so many good feelings that you're like, oh, this is real estate. This is going to be fun. This is going to be awesome, right?
Yeah.
And just when you can have fun and when you're learning easy and Joey, like every step, because I think it also helped that you were coming from a place where you weren't in the real estate industry for a long time either. So he would explain everything to us in like very, very easy.
Yep.
And then he would actually make these incredible spreadsheets, which I don't know if you guys are going to offer that as for every client, but like he just showed us with this kind of like masterful way of explaining, like this is the outlooks. These are going to be kind of what you're looking at. And because we were really fresh in real estate, everything now became like, wow, this is so tangible. I can feel it. I can like taste it now. Like before it was completely another world. And now I felt so confident because of what Joey was telling me.
Appreciate
and
that.
The information that you provided so easily and like, here's the processes, here's the steps. It's not like a hard thing anymore. It's just now it's a bullet point task list that we can go and do.
Execute on,
And so I was like, okay, we need this deposit. And I was going to go with my parents and this, that. And then I looked over at Dan in the meeting and I said, you want to go?
One of the other roommates.
Roommates he's the legendary guitarist himself.
Nice.
We were in the band together. And so I turned to him and I said, do you want to do this together? And he said, yeah, let's do it. And we were very confident. And I think that's a way that people in the rising real estate market can really execute together, is when you have a friend or family or anything like that.
Yep.
Now you actually have more power together, right?
Yep.
A spouse, traditionally it was the spouse that you team up with, right? But now I think there's a lot of, you're seeing in Toronto market in our age range, demographic and generation, even the younger generation, like if you work with somebody else, now all of a sudden things are even easier, right? And so that was a really good place for us to do the first deal, where we were confident having each other in the mix and then also having everything explained so well. And it was a good time to get condos during that kind of
lull of COVID.
That lull. Yeah. And we made two bids and
we ended up, it was the second bid that we ended up on that.
You offered on two separate places and the second one you got.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was 629 King was the building.
Yeah. 629 King. And it's been amazing ever since. We had criteria that we wanted, like something that would be very desirable for a long time. Mm-hmm. Something that, you know, the like in front of it wasn't going to change because it's facing King Street, has a nice north view onto King, 8th floor, really nice, like kind of that exposed concrete type look that they were going for a few years ago, like 5 years ago, was like the rage, I think. In all the condos.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. I stayed there for a weekend when we had the tenants go over, but literally every time we go for tenants, there's like 50 applications in one day.
Yeah, it's been very easy to keep it occupied. It's a really desirable spot too. Right? You're right in the thick of it.
And there's interesting new condos developed just to the right of it. I think I sent you a picture. Mm. They're developing. Somebody told me that Elton John is interested in them.
That's King. He bought one. He bought the penthouse there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's big on King.
He bought the penthouse there.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There's some piano they're making for him as well. And yeah, that's an interesting one. That's going to be like, I think it's Peter. I can't remember the guy's name. But like, it's like Rubik's Cube. Remember Cube?
They're like, they're a bunch of building blocks.
Yeah, video game as a kid. Cubert's got to jump down.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. That's what it's like. Yeah. And apparently there's even going to be, I don't know if this is actually going to get executed on, but there's supposed to be like a cloud machine there, so it's gonna look like there's clouds. It's a pretty interesting project. That guy, you should look into the architect. I'll send it to you, his info. He took a power plant somewhere in I think Norway and built a skiing hill on the power plant, so you can ski down this hill of a regenerating plant. Yeah, and every hour it puffs out a smoke ring like an angel. Yeah. This is really cool architect.
Norway. What a world we're living in, right?
Yeah. Well, that's just a dreamer who doesn't get limited with people saying that's impossible. Mm-hmm. Watch me. Right? And that's the theme of, I think, a lot of what you said is like, have an idea, cool, but don't let it die there. Execute on it and see what happens. And I think this is living proof of that rendition coming out.
Yeah.
We're in a day and age that literally we do have the power to do whatever we want, basically, right? Yeah. It's like very unlimited. And that's exciting. So if we could beat like the distraction portion of the technology.
I've got questions about that.
Yeah.
Do you allow kids to have phones in the class? So what's the, how do you integrate that? How do you navigate that?
We're actually like the younger kids don't have phones yet, thankfully. But
by like, design, like the parents just don't have them. Yeah, okay.
But the 13 to 16 year old range, they start to have phones. And we started noticing that was an issue like 5 years ago when smartphones have been around for what, a decade now, I think. Or a little bit more.
Like the Apple generation, at least a decade, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. And we started noticing it where I was talking about success in the class because I had to teach what the instructor was sick that day. And I said, you know, I'm talking about like success, making it and you know, all these success principles. And a kid is literally on his phone playing a video game during the class. So I took a stop and I said, guys, this is like classic endorphin. It's not you. Like in discipline, we never discipline the kid. Whatever is happening with them is not a reflection of their true soul. It's a reflection of like current thing that's bothering them. The technology, it affects all of us. So I'm not going to be hard on the kid who's distracted on his phone. Right. That's not his design. It's just him, you know, trying to make a concept of whatever we're teaching. And then just like the brain right now, it's like, I got to learn for 3 seconds. Oh, I need that hit of endorphins. Let me go get this thing. So I took a stop and I said, guys, you know, we have Vegas and we have like the world's best university or library or whatever you want, like most empowering power of knowledge at your fingertips at the same time.
Mm.
So I'm like, that's the choice that you always have to make. Mm-hmm. And the first choice is becoming, or the first step to controlling that is to be aware of the mental patterns and the psychological synapses that are happening with the phones. So like as soon as you open up Instagram or YouTube now, unfortunately it goes right to shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And that short circuits our brain. I like saying short circuit because like literally our brain is like dopamine hit. Let's get another one right away.
Yeah.
And so if you start understanding that, you can kind of get conscious.
Yeah.
And you might still do 3 or 4 videos before you get conscious, but now at least you're getting conscious more and more.
Have you read like Cal Newport, his books, Deep Focus and all that? And like, so I as an adult have the same issue where I'm like, why do I keep grabbing my phone?
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize that I'm doing it. And then when I read about like how these phones are designed, very much like a casino, you pull down a slot machine, you pull down to check your email. It's the same, you know, reward process in your head. I was like, now I understand why I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. So I think that's brilliant that you're teaching this at such a young age, the why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not getting mad that you're distracted. Cause in school, when we were kids,
that was a punishment. Yeah.
Go to the principal's office. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man, I'm in trouble. If you would have said, this is your distraction, you have Vegas or the world's greatest library at your fingertips, that would have been such an aha moment of like, okay, no, I should be using this for good. I can have a phone, because I struggle with, like, when I have a child, I can't keep a phone away from a kid. No. That's going to create its own set of problems.
Yep. Yes.
So how do you integrate that? And it sounds like you've got this really well thought out way of teaching them that phones are a part of life. We're not going to be able to escape them, but how you use them is the teachable moment that you're integrating. And that's, I love it that that's something you guys are doing.
And I think for kids in general, like that whole old school discipline of like, you can't do that because I said so.
Right.
That never worked for humans. It's never going to work again. Like, that builds resentment. Like, whenever we were told that as kids, you just build resentment towards that person. Yep. Because like, what they're telling you is like, not only am I restricting this, I'm also restricting the knowledge of this. Mm,
so the lesson now, in it,
And then it becomes even more in your psyche that you want to do it, because you're like, you're not missing the opportunity, you're also missing the knowledge about what that is.
Yep.
So now the phone will become this huge, mysterious thing that you need to do, right? If your parent tells you like, no, you can't do it because I said so.
Right.
And even with video games, like my parents back in the day, they let us play it out. Mm-hmm. And then we got so disgusted after one summer where all we did was video games that we literally like cracked the CD through the like the Xbox in the trash. And we're like, that's it. We kind of like maxed out on it.
Right.
But you could only do that when your parents are kind of like, you have free reign, but this is, these are the opportunities that you're missing because of this. So giving that knowledge to a young person, because if you talk to like the way we do at camps and programs, we talk to them like they're adults,
right?
They're just they're just mini like developing human beings, right? So they are worth so much already. And they're, they, that we try to build, like every program we're building confidence and identity. Mm. So like, just because you're learning doesn't mean you're any less good. You are amazing 100% as a human being just for existing. Mm. That I think everyone, if we all just said that about all the other humans, I think the world would be a much better place. And then if you remove that, like I need to be good at something to be worth something, then learning becomes so much easier, because now you got the whole ego out of the way.
Right.
Like I'm already self-accepting, I'm already good. And whatever goals I have, just because I haven't reached them, has no relevance on how important I am or how special I am as a human.
Right.
Right. And I think if you remove all of those things, even like failure, failure is not actually a thing. It's like black is the absence of color, right? It's just like failure is just the temporary non-achievement of a goal. Right. And it's a learning process. So it's really like, does a machine like get upset if didn't get a calculation?
Yeah.
No. Right. It's like, it's just going to do the problem again. Yeah. And I'm going to try to solve it again. So I think the closer we can get there and remove emotion because we're already self-accepting of ourselves, I think that's going to be really good. And that's been in our discipline and in our success programs where we're teaching them about those phones and technology as well.
Can you become the education minister of the world, not just Ontario? No, like this is wild that you've got this program in what I think should be wide reaching and mandatory. Like everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like if I have a child, you're going to be teaching this kid. It's going through your program.
I say to all my friends, have as many as you want. We got you.
No, and I really, like I say this jokingly, but like, I think the curriculum, I think everyone agrees the curriculum needs an overhaul. We argue about these very small things, changes that they want to do. This is the thing. So like, do you ever have any ambitions? Like, could you open a private school, or like, is that some big picture what you want to do, or?
Big picture, absolutely.
Okay.
Big picture, absolutely. And that's, we already have something incorporated.
Sorry. I said private school. It doesn't mean to be a private school. It just, I don't know why maybe that even term is added to it. I think it adds a whole level of eliteness, but like just an alternative school that someone can go to.
Yes. Yeah. We have a school that we're, that we incorporated right now.
Okay.
The Toronto School of Sport and Technology.
Okay.
And we already started reaching out with like curriculum developers and school, the school kind of association of private schools.
Amazing.
That was something that we were working on like crazy during COVID, where most of the in-person stuff was stopped.
Right.
But we kept on working on like, okay, this is a pause. This is a golden moment that to take an opportunity, like this isn't bad. This is really good.
Yeah.
Now we can work on some long-term things. Right. And I think that's the seed of every failure or every challenge lies a massive opportunity. You're just looking at it the wrong. You're looking at it from that other perspective. Now you just got to look at it from another perspective. Yep. Right. So I think, that we were able to develop that. And that's going to be part of like during COVID and that's going to be part of our like growth pattern. Cause we want to support kids like, oh, I had this great initial program. I had this great initial camp, but now same thing with our elite soccer and basketball academies and swimming academies. Like, yes. And I want to be part of a family, a tribe, a community, which is so big. Like we believe in community because that's humans thrive by community. That's why COVID was so hard for us because that eliminated so much of the community feel that was essential as we're tribal humans.
Social animals.
Animals. So if we can make that social with it as well, then you're so much more. Mm. That's why I told Joey, I'm excited for you guys. The Toronto Living's like socials. I don't know if you guys thought about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. I know you guys have been talking about that.
Yeah. We've got some ideas brewing, but like we could teach podcasts. If kids want to learn, we could come out and do a podcast session. Like
100%. I'm your first sign up.
Yeah.
First sign up.
Yeah. No, I think there's like this whole other, like someone could make an entire career off doing just this. Like this is our side job to real estate is the podcast. Yep. My wife always reminds me, tell people you sell real estate. I'm like, yeah, a lot of people are like, oh, you guys have a podcast. Like, actually we do real estate, but, you know, someone could have an entire career just off of this platform alone, whatever that involves to. And I think I would be very surprised if the school system is teaching anything about the marketing, the strategy, the recording. Like there's so many elements that people don't see that we do behind to put these episodes out that, you know, a child or a young adult can make an entire empire off of.
Yeah.
Yes.
This. Yeah. Learning any of this skill set and organizing it even could be an entire thing in itself.
Well, we get guests all the time. They're like, oh, that's so impressive. And it's like, it's not that hard.
Right.
It's a few steps to make it happen. But like, you know, teaching someone that now can be a whole other industry that's these podcasts are turning into.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Content is like, honestly, so important.
Yeah.
Like that was my theme of this year. I told Joey, like, in our mastermind, I'm like, the theme of this year for me is content. That's why we're releasing the book. And because when you share your knowledge, you're with this podcast, you're doing so much good for so many people.
Thank you.
And you don't, and as a content creator, I remember with music, sometimes you don't even realize people are listening to you.
Right.
You don't actually realize the impact. If one person hears it, that's impacting their life so much, right? And that's why I think it's like, it'd be important to teach kids if you guys want to launch a program at TAC.
We will. I'm not like anything real estate related, anything like my childhood was Monopoly. Like, me and my sister played it all the time. And so exactly what you said, I can relate to that so much. And I remember like learning the budgeting, feeling the cash in my hand that when I would go buy a pizza, I was very confident at a young age because I'm like, I know money. I know how to like handle cash and all those. Like those are tangible skills I learned. So if there's any type of synergy where we can come and speak to kids about like, you know, at five, you can dream about owning a house. It doesn't need to be this wild reaching fantasy that never happens for you. And I think that early acknowledgement of that is so empowering to kids of like, you can own property. Absolutely. Yeah. At any age. Right.
Just happened right now. We're launching a real estate program.
Amazing.
Like 100%.
Yeah.
And we're going to have you guys come and do like the TED talk and launch and train the instructors. It's happened. Like
done. It's in the done. Universe.
It's in we're the executing universe. Like, I know it. Like,
yeah.
I just saw it. Like it's amazing. Just what you said right now.
More than happy to come out and really and pull that. One of my biggest things that got me into real estate was my grandmother telling me that my great grandfather bought their house at Bloor and Dovercourt for $10,000 in 1950 something.
Wild.
And that always stuck with me. When at young, she told me this. So I was like five or six, and I remember telling my dad, "Why do we only have one house? If great grandpa only bought one, he could have bought five houses for $50,000. Of course, $50,000 was the equivalent of $5 million at that time, right? But however, that always got me thinking. And I think I've been always very fearless with buying property, even if I didn't have the money. It's like, but I know in 30 years, I'm going to be glad I did it. And that story from my grandmother is what really sparked the whole thing of like, there's been several sparks over the years, but that was one that I keep going back to. And every time an opportunity came up, if someone on the street was selling, I'm like, Dad, we should definitely buy that house. And I remember being like, dude, you're 12. Just go play hockey. Don't worry about buying property. I'm like, no, but it's like Monopoly. And it is. But I think he grew up in a different, like he was more of the formula of you get married, you have a kid, you raise the kid. That's your mission in life. Whereas our generation is a little bit more expansive of, it doesn't have to be just that. Maybe you never have kids, or maybe, you know, you travel around the world with your kids. It's a different lifestyle is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But back to the original point, yes, we're going to the Mark and Joey School of Real Estate.
Let's do it.
For the kids.
Yeah, for the kids.
That was, I love hearing your story of how you got into real estate as well. And that early exposure, like just there, like it made such a huge difference to you, right? Because it just opens up that world. And then you're confident living in that world. And you had more confidence as a 12-year-old than most people have their entire lives.
It was definitely a reoccurring theme. I've shared this before in the podcast. I was a butcher prior to real estate. And the last four digits of my cell phone currently spell the words meat, M-E-A-T, 6328. I strategically did that.
And his potatoes.
There you go. So when I was at the butcher shop, the two butchers were heavily invested in real estate. And all we would talk about while we were cutting meat is real estate. And that just became like, I'm like, there's something here. Like, I can't be in this butcher shop or in this cold room for 20 years with arthritis. I should really be getting out there. And I picked up my first real estate books and I was like, this is it. It just...
Again, and it's and it goes, I think it's like community too, right? Like you do feed off the people that you're surrounded
with.
Like when you surround yourself in a community of people that are trying to achieve or trying to better themselves or just having that early exposure to things that people did not have back in the day, it's so beneficial and it goes so far.
Well, it's show me your friends or show you your future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. That's the truest words that can be said.
Yeah.
And I feel like you're showing friends in this TAC community of, you know, all like-minded people who are ambitious, who are bettering themselves, that's going to create a super generation of really efficient people,
yes,
which gives us hope. Cause I look at some kids and I'm like, oh, we're screwed.
Yeah. We're lucky. Cause I think with like this kind of spiritual, like what you give, you receive as well. And like the tribe that you kind of also magnet people to you.
Absolutely.
So because like our motto is grow, learn, lead. And we are very forefront with what we're doing. Like we want to do the self-confidence and the growth.
Yeah.
I think that attracts a lot of great families, and we have an honor of working with such amazing families, through and through, and kids that are already coming who are already have that solid moral foundation, that solid like family foundation. But yeah, it's once you are part of that tribe, or like part of that community, and you're around people and they're all treating each other really well. And we say leadership is the best leader is a servant leader. Mm. We say leader, like captain means nothing. Captain means you're serving the rest of your team.
Right.
And you are the one helping the others the most on your way to a goal, basically. And we want that kind of servant leadership to be present, and that like take initiative, servant leadership. And then when you have that building in, then you just, like you said, riffing off of each other. And yeah, that's why we do the mastermind group. Cause like we have seven of our friends who are kind of reading these books, trying to get better all the time. Mm-hmm. We're always like, Audible was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. Just like these podcasts are game changers that you can listen to whatever you're doing, working out in the car. Mm-hmm. Like Audible was also like that, where you're just listening to books and you're getting better. You're upgrading yourself basically.
Yeah.
Right. So, we share that, and when you have that, then you can level up. Like five friends, show me your future.
Yeah, show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
That's
incredible. Yeah. It's time and time again, and goes either way. Like you start hanging around criminals, you will more than likely become a criminal in you know, a very short period of time.
Yeah.
But when you hang around people that are eating right or trying to better themselves and working out, that's going to rub off on you in the best of ways. And I think you're taking that and just like 100xing it with all these little humans and giving them the right framework so that, you know, when the challenging teenagers comes in, at least they've got that structure. They've got that, those leadership mentalities to maybe help them get through it. Cause they're all going to go through it, but at least you're arming them with the intelligence or the lessons to help him.
And again, confidence too.
Confidence.
Right? Like that feeling of just being comfortable in your own skin and being able to like that growth mindset period too with all the kids. That's such a huge thing that, you know, I know that when we were kids, that was not something that was enforced on anybody or even talked about.
Yeah. And it's not a dig at the parents before us. That's just what they knew.
Yeah, right.
And I think as we evolve and we see that there are other ways of doing it, we can improve in years ahead.
Yeah. And speaking of growth, like I want to bring it back to our real estate, because we didn't end up talking about our real estate journey together. But like that initial deal that we did ended up, I got so comfortable. Mm. It was such a great experience. I got so comfortable with it that because of that early exposure and like, wow, this real estate is so easy. It's so fun. We ended up going and doing like three other deals after. And,
that's
and
amazing.
It's just like you feel confident and you're like, okay, now let's go, let's explore further. Right.
So got the foundations in, now you can really let it rip and get out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and Joey's incredible. You really make the process very comfortable.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was,
that's a common theme that I hear from people who've worked with you. It's like, oh, Joey's just fun. Like it's just, make it really enjoyable.
It's really fun. And he'll lay out like in an email, it's like, these are what we need to do. These are all the documents you need to get. Like these are everything here. And then it's like in all of the conversations, it's like so just easy, you know, where I think most people thought of real estate as like this high pressure situation. Like, and then when it's presented in such a, like a tangible, easy way, you're like, no, this is something I can do and I can do over and over again.
Yeah.
And it's now within reach, both like my present day of like what I need to do now. And then also Joey's helping like, hey, this is the future. Like these are the projections of what you're expecting to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you were saying is like, it's always a good investment. Like, why didn't we buy five? Mm-hmm. Right. Because if you understand the market, then that's the education piece too, right?
Right.
When somebody's educated in real estate, like through this podcast, like you're 10 times more likely to be right away effective, right away confident, right away like understanding. If you're going to a showing, all of a sudden you have all this information you're armed with,
right?
Rather than just being kind of like in the dark, right? So
yeah. You're armed with questions you want to ask about the property and like going through it a little more educated than just like going in blind. Is this one good?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like during a showing, we'll talk about like the, what you can do with it now, what you could do with it in the future. Like we bought a duplex that we now renting to two people or two families. And that's really been rewarding to be like, it's a really good feeling for me is like, I want to be a landlord in the best way that I wish. Cause I'm renting right now a property that I'm living in. And then we're renting our other properties to tenants. So I'm always like, what would I be, if I had the ideal landlord, how would I act?
Right.
Right.
So like utility bills all on a sheet, like everything super crystal clear, like a welcome package,
beautiful,
those kind of things. But like, having that opportunity, I would never have had that opportunity if I literally didn't live with Joy. Like it would not have been, or if I didn't know Joy to begin with. Not everyone has to live with Joey. I don't think enough space in your
house. It's a nice perk if you can live with Joey. There's lots of meat and potatoes.
I'll put my information at the bottom of it.
Send your applications.
I love it. And that goes back to community too. I mean, like, not to keep dwelling on it, but like, yeah, it's true. Cause it's the same. I don't think I would have made the switch if I didn't live there either. So this is like, it's a self, like perpetual, what am I trying to say? It moves itself forward.
You didn't just, he didn't just get value out of you. You also obtained incredible amounts of value being surrounded by those people to. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, can we shout out everybody at Eastview right now?
Yeah. Yeah. We actually, okay. So Dan Morrison,
yeah.
Thomas Arthur, my twin brother, and the, like, we got to go into the story of Dan and how, you know, Dan as well.
I love the story. So
yeah. Cause Dan also is.
So Dan's one of the members who rented with you guys.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So Dan, we became best friends in high school. We got to know each other. We didn't really know each other until one trip. We knew of each other and we were in the same like music class and stuff. But he was Dan Morson, which is like a Friulian northeastern last name where we chop off all the vowels. But he was always called Morrison.
Okay.
So I thought he was Irish.
Okay.
But he's actually half Northern Italian, half Polish.
Huh.
And so he's just playing trumpet in the back. I don't really know him. Then I'm obviously Alexander Arthur because my dad's English and my mom's Northern Italian. So we're just like secret Italians, right? So we go on this trip that was organized by our home region, subsidized to bring all the immigrant grandchildren back to the region.
Wow.
It was like a touristic thing where the region wanted to re-promote growth and bring all of these like supposedly like Americanos, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. Back to the Italy roots, yeah. To bring like you know, tourist dollars. And when you're young, or again, early exposure, you're gonna fall in love with it, and you're gonna bring your family back there a Brilliant. Lot, right? Because our families are there. So his family's actually 10-minute bike ride from my grandparents.
Yeah. Wow.
So his noni and my noni are literally from like the same so geographical funny. Region within like 5-minute car ride.
That's insane.
And we met on this trip and we're like, oh my God, you're on this trip. And we knew each other like in passing from school. And then we became best friends from there. And then he started playing guitar. And then when our first bandmate, and we played soccer together, he was a big soccer player too. So when our first band didn't work out, we like were walking down the street and we're like, you know, what's happening now, right? And he said, what?
I'm you're
like,
in.
You're in the band. you're our brother.
Yeah.
And then Joey and I were at his wedding this September, fast forward.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. Not only we've been in band together, but he was my first real estate partner, basically, yeah, with Joey. And then we were living together, renting a house in Etobicoke. Mm. Which Joey and our other friend Nick in real estate helped us find. And he was instrumental helping you get into real estate too, Nick Linetsky. So we're going to shout out Nick Linetsky.
Yeah, absolutely.
Helped us find the band house too. Incredible. He just had a daughter. So
yeah. Oh, nice.
She's going to be part of the programs too. But Dan and Roxy, so we were living together and he was getting serious with Roxy, his now wife. And I looked at him one day, it was 2021. Or 2021, right?
Yeah.
And Joey and I had just had a conversation.
Yeah, that's right.
And we were looking at a lot of properties with me and Adib, my business partner, and then we're looking at the market was just steaming ahead. And I just got on the phone with Dan. I'm like, Dan, you need to make a move right now.
Yeah.
Like you need to go now. And I'm like, this is great living together, but like you need to find something for Roxy. You guys are getting to the next level.
Good.
And then fast forward, that brings
to my place.
To your place.
Yeah. So I very sporadically decided to put my house on the market. I was going to rent it out. I didn't want to. My concept is never sell property. Hold as much as you can, as long as you can. But I was at a place where I was like, I don't know if I want to be another landlord, have other rental properties. I said, and I was moving in with my now wife. And I'm like, I just want to kind of focus on her and not take on another one. So I very brashly decided to sell my place. And so the timing of this all is pretty serendipitous. And I think within 2 weeks, I went from I've decided to sell my place to staging on the market to I sold my place. It all happened really quick. And wow. We had, I think, 80 plus showings in 7 days.
Wow.
For my place. And Joey came through with Nick at the time.
Yep.
The two of you came through at the time with Dan and Roxy. And I remember telling my wife, if I'm going to sell this place, it needs to be to somebody who says, I friggin' love it. Like, this is our home. And your clients came in and they said effectively that there was a few vulgarities, which I very much appreciated of how much they loved it. And I'm like, I told my wife, I'm like, these are the people, these have to be the people. I'm like, I really want them to get it. And lo and behold, through a series of events, your representation of them, their offer, their terms, a lot of different things happened where I was like, this is meant to be, it has to go to them. And every time Joey pops into their house, you always send me a pic of them. And like, I can't tell you what that does to my heart. Yeah, there's a piece of me that's like, I miss it, but there's a greater piece of me. Like, I'm so glad that they're the ones filling that space. And I've said this a few times in the past of like, we don't own anything. We're just responsible for taking care of it while we're on this earth.
Yes.
And I felt like I had my 7 years to take care of it. I did its job and now I'm ready for the next person. But it was important that next person wasn't just, I don't know. They just, not that I had any say in who that would be, but it just was important that it was the right, what I deemed the right people. And every time I hear about you guys talking about them, I'm like, it's so much sweeter that it went to them.
Yeah, because in my memory of it too, it was us versus the two top contenders were us and another person who was an investor.
Seven offers, yeah. And it was you and the other guy wasn't, there was no emotional story with it. It was very much a financial decision for him.
Yeah.
Whereas you came with a story about them and the background. And I'm like, no, it has to be them. It has to be them.
And lo and behold, they held true to everything we talked about too.
So, yeah. Well, you said they're serious. I don't know if they're engaged yet.
They weren't yet.
But you had said you kind of had.
I was hinting.
You were hinting like you know.
This is If you want the people to take care of your place, like this is
them. Yeah. I put the backsplash up in that place. Did everyone who says I'm not handy, yeah, I installed the backsplash. Really? I cut the tile myself.
That backsplash looks great, man.
Thank you. I'll tell you where not to look in there, because it was my first attempt. There's a few spots, but 99% of it is very, it came out good. Yeah.
And I think the spirit of real estate, like that, just that, like you just highlighted it there, is like actually like the intentions behind it,
right.
I think matters so much. Mm-hmm. And I just want to highlight, like when I see Dan in there, and I went in there the first time, I'm like, this couldn't have been, like there could not have been anything better for them. And like, that was the first time they lived together.
Yep.
That was the first time, like it was a big moment for them.
Yeah.
But that space is so nice.
Yeah.
That like, that allowed their relationship to blossom even further.
Love it.
And then like literally 6 months later, they're engaged.
Amazing.
And then we just went to their wedding. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, like I keep teasing him about it, but like
another kid in the camp.
Yeah, another kid in the camp probably soon. No, I'm not
maybe another deal for you to buy a den.
Exactly. Right.
Good time to reapproach the conversation. Yeah.
But like, it's allowed them to start such a beautiful life together.
Amazing.
And like the island that you put in
is
so amazing. Those little touches that like when people are doing real estate renovations. And we renovated one of the places that we bought and I lived in it.
Mm.
And like those decisions to be like, what would not only me at the current time like, but like a family coming in here, what would they enjoy?
Right.
And I saw so many other units in Treviso with Joey both looking to buy and rent, and none of them come close.
And it's so simple. I added a kitchen island and a backsplash. I redid the countertops. It's where, you know, maybe I was like, 8,000 to 10,000 of rental costs, which in the grand scheme of things is not a lot, but the impact that that had sets it apart from any other unit in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That the one that Dan and Roxy bought, that's the only one with a waterfall featured kitchen island.
Yep.
Like, and like the thing, just small little things go a long way when you put the intention of, well, how do I make this space better? Not just how do I get a better ROI?
Right.
That's so minimal. Oh, that's the call. All right. Well, I think this was definitely more than I was expecting coming into it. I think you brought so much more to the audience and ourselves. Like, I'm so glad that a camp like this exists for kids. And I'm definitely going to be plugging you to all my clients who are like, because this conversation happens often. Like, oh, the kids aren't learning anything in school. Fair. You can't change that. But maybe put them in a camp like this where they can get that little bump ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're committed to the Mark and Joey Real Estate School of Success.
Yeah.
Yes, that's definitely going to happen.
We'll talk about it for
sure.
And
I think it would be incredible because parents love it.
Right? Mm.
Like, they love whenever their kids are armed with it. And kids, they follow their parents. Like, we become half and half of our parents or whatever primary caregivers we're living with. Like, but that direct, if a parent's trying to teach their kid directly, then once they become like 13, there's this kind of like weirdness
tension.
Of your parent kind of talking to you. So having like, I mean, this would be incredible. Like, it's going to happen.
Sure.
Like,
yeah, we're in
this real estate, and there's going to be a lot of parents who are going to want to sign up. And yeah, we're just committed. I think this is going to be part and parcel, just committed to like literally enhancing humanity.
Mm,
like,
exactly.
How do we enhance humanity? It's like, education is the number one thing.
Yeah.
And how can we bring it to a place of abundance where we're all living in peace, harmony, with good knowledge and good communities. And then we're doing it in a sustainable way. And that's obviously going to be the best future for everybody.
Yeah, you're being the change you want to see in the world. You're starting with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you could have these wild goals, but until you start in the individual level, it's never going to happen. So
Awesome. So we're going to link your website and everything on the bottom of the podcast. And where can people find TAC if they were looking you up?
Yeah. So www.tacsports.ca.
Okay.
And then there's lsacademy.ca. Mm-hmm. And basically, if they go on TAC Sports, we have all of the different icons of the different brands that they can check out.
Yeah, right on the top toolbar. I was playing around with it.
Yeah, it's right on the top toolbar. Yeah. And then it has all of our camps and programs and different things like that. And we're excited. Honestly, I'm just excited to continue to help people and
amazing.
And expand that mission. And I'm honestly like, listened to so many podcasts of this. So
thank
I was
you.
Really honored, really honored to be on here with you guys.
I don't think this so is fun. Your last. I think we definitely want to have you back for other type of things. And as things evolve, I think there's going to be some good synergy and definitely excited for your podcast when it comes as well. And a book. And I just feel like
there's lots
of incredible things coming. So definitely this is the stories. These are the stories we wanted to tell when we started this podcast. And thank you for definitely adding a big brick to that foundation.
Love it.
honored, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Cool. Awesome.
All right. See you there.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Toronto Living's Real Estate Podcast. You could find more information on how we work over at torontolivings.com. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter to get price reports from over 150 different neighborhoods in the city each and every month.
If you got any value, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends. And if you made it this far, thanks for listening.